We're going to go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in this school of ministry, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we're getting what we need in order for us to be successful in ministry. And Lord, I just give you all the praise. I thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up, Lord God, for in him I lean and totally depend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start off with letting everybody know. Last week, we started a topic on loyalty and how loyalty is a cousin to walking in honor, because you have to be a loyal assistant or a loyal person in ministry. The book that I was, and you don't have to get it. I mean, if you, some people may have it, but it's called Loyalty and Disloyalty by Dig Stewart Mills. And we're going to, for this session and probably next session, we're going to be talking on how, you know, the difference between loyalty and disloyalty and how to detect when someone in ministry is beginning to be disloyal. That's so very important. I want to start off by saying there is a blatant dishonor, dishonor that is completely obvious, but there is subtle dishonor, which is not so easily recognizable. Give, for instance, Saul. When Saul was persecuting the church in the first several chapters of Acts, he had a blatant dishonor for God because he persecuted the church. He went about, you know, consenting to Stephen's death, and but as we know, he was turned around. But that was blatant. But then there's a dishonor that's not so blatant. It's more subtle. Take, for instance, Judas. Judas' disloyalty was more subtle in his betrayal to Jesus. In that case, disloyalty needs to be detected and corrected if possible, because if it's not, if disloyalty is not corrected and turned, it will lead to a person walking in dishonor, you know, because it first starts with some disloyal actions or disloyal thoughts. And then if you don't, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can remember several years ago, I went into one of our former church members' business to use the phone. That was back before we had cell phones, or they were so expensive that only the privileged had them. But anyway, and when I went in there, the person asked me, we were getting ready to start our circles again, but we were going to call them word cells. I never forget that. And she said, are you guys going to be a part and have a circle again? I said, yeah, we are. And then she made the comment, y'all glutton for punishment, you know. And I looked at her, I said, what you mean by that? You know, in other words, you know, they keep putting more on you, you know. And, you know, I didn't know how to answer that question because it just puzzled me coming from somebody who was in leadership. You know, 2-3 years later, they were gone. You know, but you know that showed me that there was something, you know, sometimes it's just subtle things that people will say that trigger you, you know, and that's why one of the things Apostle talked about how discernment is so important, especially if you are a leader, because you know sometimes certain things. There was a brother in LTMA. We were together for the Supernatural Monday Coming to You conference this past week, Thursday and Friday. There were certain things that he said that kind of triggered me. You know, one of the things I never do, and I remember something Kenan Hagin says, if I can't say nothing good about a person, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to say nothing at all. You know, they'll ask him, what you think about brother so-and-so? I know him. And that's all he would say. You know, he's not going to sow discord among the brethren, you know. And even though sometimes what somebody is saying is true, you know, if you're not going to pray for them and build them up, if I can't help you, I sure in God's heaven will not hurt you. You know, I'm just not going to do it, because we're supposed to build one another up. Amen. But subtle things that happen can bring about disloyalty. And I'm going to try to work through here as quickly as I can. All right. And last week we gave some definitions of loyalty, and I'm going to just give a few more here. Loyalty, the state or quality of being loyal, faithful, one who is faithful and committed to a cause, steadfast, sticking to one's assignment, commitment, or obligations. And that's so very important. faithfully committed to a vision, faithfully committed to a vision and a visionary who has the vision, you know, a person who's loyal. Loyalty is displayed in one's consecration, a solemn commitment of your life and your time to a cherished purpose, to serve, to a goal, to a mission, or to a vision. One's commitment and consecration to one's leader. You have to be consecrated, you know, set apart. You know, I believe, and I shared this last week, you know, if you're called into the ministry of helps, that's a calling. You know, that's a calling. I don't consider that any lightly than any fivefold ministry calling, because every, you know, as the scripture says, the toe can't say to the head, or the head can't say to the toe, I have no need of you. You know, it's actually, the Bible says, is those more comely parts that we need more, because that's, you know, if you were to cut your small toe off, as small as it is, your equilibrium, your balance would be off. You know, if you hurt it, not cut it off, you just hurt it, you having some issues walking, period. You know, you will not walk straight if you stump and hurt your small toe and or fractured it, you will have some issues walking for a while. You know, so every member of the body of Christ has a vital role. Every organ, every tissue in your body, you know, the body of Christ is compared to our physical body. You know, when you have a headache, it messes with you, you know. But I'll never forget, and this is something the Lord had showed me. I had a splinter in my hand. This was years ago. I was a student at Southern. I was going to a prayer meeting, and it was in my hand, and it just bothered me. You know, I couldn't get it out. It kind of broke on the inside, and I didn't have the tweezers I needed or something to kind of cut in there to get it out. And so I'm trying to praise God, and it was just, you know, every now and then I'm working with it, you know. And then I began to focus upon God and kind of forgot about it. And all of a sudden, as I was praising God, the Lord said, check your finger. I checked it. It was completely eradicated. I mean, he had healed it, and I couldn't even tell there was a piece of wood or whatever was stuck in there that was in there. And he was telling me how even a small thing can hinder you from what you know. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, so, you know, just as an illustration, it doesn't take a lot. It's just something really small. Okay, let's move on. Having or showing complete and constant support, I'm talking about loyalty, to someone or something is loyalty to that person, that their mission or their vision. And we stated last week, it's an unswavering alliance or allegiance, not wishy-washy, are inconsistent. You know, sometimes people are inconsistent. They're inconsistent in their giving. They're inconsistent in their church attendance. They're inconsistent in their witnessing. They're inconsistent in their service. But a loyal person, that's always going to be steady. You can count on them. They're going to be there. They're going to show up. They're going to support. They're going to undergird. And that's so very important. Faithfulness to a cause, an idea, a custom, an institution, a product, if you're working for a company, faithful to an assignment. You know, it's kind of interesting. The company that I used to work for, I was faithful to them for 37 years. And once I left, you know, for the office, I left. A week ago, they called me, asked me to come back to work because they needed some help. And I said, I'm not your man. You know, they called me back the next day. They said, can you come at least for one day, because we're in a bind. And I said, well, when I was there, I told you certain things needed to be done, you know. But what had happened, because I wasn't committed anymore, my loyalty to the ministry increased, my assignment increased, and, you know, I don't have time anymore. You know, I'm blessed doing what I'm doing. And it was a blessing to say thanks, but no thanks, you know. And a lot of it had to do with, I'm not going to let anything get in the way now because I'm freed up. I'm not going to let nothing get in the way of what God's called me to do here. It's just not going to happen. You know, yeah. You know, there wasn't enough money involved for me to do it, you know. Amen. Anyway, let me move on. Loyalty is a principal qualification for every minister who commits themselves to serve. Loyalty will open the door for you to walk in honor and be honored. Just like we talked about before, you know, before honor is humility. When you walk in humility, you can't help but walk in honor. Well, when you walk in loyalty to a cause or to a person or to a vision, you're going to see honor be bestowed upon you because of your loyalty. In an allegiance, there is loyalty to our commitment to a of a subordinate, somebody who's lesser, to a superior, or of an individual to a group, a cause, or a vision. And I talked about this last week. You know, a lot of times people think it's talented people or people who might be a good orator or you know, have a good preaching voice that they can make a good minister or a good assistant or, you know, good whatever in ministry. But, you know, as we stated earlier, from experience, it has shown that faithfulness and loyal people in the church or organization who are the most qualified to lead, somebody you can depend on. You know, somebody you can trust. You know, that's why it's so important that if you're in leadership or if you're the head of a church, a pastor, first lady, you know, working in the capacity, if there's deacons in your church or if there's just leaders, elders, you know, it's so very important to know the people who are among you, to know them, know their heart, get to know them, get close to them. You know, whenever people start off in prison ministry, I generally go out with them for two or three times, and I try to get to know them, find out a little bit about the person, you know their heart. Well, what have you been doing, and you know, what brought you to Word of Life, and you know, what type of ministry have you done? Just kind of to feel them out, let them talk, so that we can have an understanding, you know, and that's so very important. I found people who didn't want to say a whole lot or didn't have time after we ministered to have lunch or sit down in fellowship, most of the time they had their own agenda involved. I'll never forget this one particular individual. Nice guy, he and his wife. They were both, you know, in key positions in the ministry. But every time I say, you know, let's sit down and just, you know, have fellowship. You know, oh, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. And then the minute a little controversy stirred up, he gone. And then two or three months later, his wife gone. You know, it was something about him I couldn't put my hand on. You know, so that's so very important. Let me move on. All right. And we stated this last week. Do not be mistaken. The Bible teaches us that the cardinal requirements, one of the most important things for leadership is that, you know, that person must be faithful first before anything else. And we use 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, which says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And the Amplified Bible to that same verse says, so then, let us apostles be looked upon as ministers, servants of Christ, and stewards or trustees of the mysteries and the secrets, purposes of God. Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. Any person that's operating in disloyalty in the beginning stages are in the beginning stages of walking in dishonor. And if it is not turned or they've not put back on track, their disloyalty will lead to dishonor. You know, so that's why you have to. One of the things I've learned a lot of times in talking about the positive sense of honor, you have to look at those who walked in honor, but at the same time, you have to look at those who walked in dishonor and what they did and how they walked in dishonor. And most of the times, they started to be disloyal before it was full-blown, you know, dishonor, to the point where they there was no honor there because their loyalty slipped and started to slide. A disloyal person, listen to this, a disloyal person breeds strife, hatred, murmuring. These disloyal sentiments is like smoke that fill an entire house. The only way to get rid of the smoke is to get rid of the fire, you know. And also, too, smoke in some cases is more damaging than the fire. And the reason why, is like a smoke that fills a room, you know. You can have a fire right here in the corner, get a fire extinguisher, and put it out. But if it goes long enough, it's going to affect everything in the house. A lot of times the smoke damage is more damaging than the actual fire, you know. And that's why, you know, people who are disloyal, if they can't be turned and where they're walking in loyalty to their man of God, to their pastor, you know, they need to be shown the door. Because what they're doing can be so contagious, and it could breed contentment, it could breed strife, murmuring, backbiting, and all of those works of the flesh start to creep in, and then you don't even know what you got. You always want to nip certain things at the bud before it blossom, because once it blossom and start pollinating, and that pollen, that disloyal pollen starts spreading all over, before you know it, you got a whole room or a whole church full of murmurs and complainers, you know. People in leadership roles whose hearts are not in the work of the ministry need to be encouraged to step down or leave if their hearts cannot be turned, because they will cripple the ministry. If their hearts are not with the vision, they will negligently influence other members. One of the things that helped me walk in honor was seeing the consequences, you know, of a person who walks in dishonor. You know, when you start seeing the consequences, you know, like I said, there's always been subtle things that I've noticed. I remember this one man. I got his name here. I won't mention him, but I just got his name there so I could trigger my thought. Worked in ministry, was part of the ministry, and then one day I remember hearing, I just came from prison ministry. I was down in St. James Parish at a local jail there ministering, and the chaplain, who was a local minister in that area, said, "Brother so-and-so, I heard he just took over a church, and he was a member of this church." And I'm saying, "No, he hadn't." He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's the community that's talking. He just recently took over a little church down the street." I said, I said, I'm not aware of that. I said, okay. And I was leaving, so I knew where he stayed, so I drove by his house. I said, "What is this I hear? You know, he said, the ministry here don't appreciate me." And then he started, you know, I'm not going to say everything he was saying, but, you know, disloyalty. I could just, every word was coming out, you know, and I told him, I said, "You better watch what you're saying and get your heart right, because you are on the very edge of walking away from your destiny and losing your inheritance." You know, I mean, you've put time in the ministry and, you know, God has blessed you and your family, but now because of your actions and your disloyal thoughts, you're about to lose it. Well, he got it straight, and he came back and apologized and repented, you know. Then a year or two later, he was back in the same rut, you know. And, you know, I saw him at a funeral right after Katrina, and which has been a while. So I let you know this happened even years before Katrina. That's been 10 years ago. But anyway, I asked him this. I always ask these specific questions to people who leave because of disloyalty or dishonor. Have you been doing any ministry since you left? He just held his head down. He said, "No." You know, that hurts me, especially when you know somebody got a call on their life, you know. And that's one of the things why apostles say you don't rush. Certain things you don't rush, you know. Your gift will make room for you, you know. But don't you try to make room for your gift or make a place or make a space, you know. Everything I do in ministry, I was asked to do. You know, now there were times I volunteered when volunteers were needed for various events and things, but I always made myself available. I always said, people always say the best ability is availability. I would make myself available, you know, and gleam, and whenever apostle went somewhere, I tried to go to those same places, you know, and that proved a loyalty. Because one of the things he said it today, he said, You know, he doesn't ask his membership or his leadership to do something that he hadn't already done or is presently doing, you know. And I saw that seeing him do what he's asking other people to do presently now, coming to the LTA Monday, coming to you conferences, is easy to do it because I physically saw Apostle year after year going to camp meeting, following Kenan Hagin, you know, to different meetings, didn't miss a meeting, you know. And I saw the benefits of what it was doing in his life in ministry. I saw the ministry increase and the anointing on his life increase because of his loyalty, because of his loyalty to who he was following. So that makes it easy for me to follow because I already see the pattern. The pattern, you know, has already been laid. All you got to do is follow the pattern. When you follow the pattern, and don't get off course. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. I got 19 minutes left. I ain't even started good. But you know, you stay focused, and don't let nobody deter your focus, and that's so very important. Let me move on. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me move on. You see, the core strength of any great organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. The core strength of any great organization depends on its members. You need loyal and faithful people who are close to you and that's following you. You know, the core strength of any great organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. This is a way a leader should only surround himself. This way a leader should only surround himself with faithful and loyal servants because a disloyal person can affect the strength of the organization. You know, you don't want nobody to be disloyal. I'll never forget this one. I'm here, I'm going off in on an apostle, call it a rabbit trail, but I've seen him do it, and I've learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. But I remember this, we had started our circles years ago, and this one particular guy who was under me, he was a circle leader. He just started showing up kind of absent for a while, so we called him. And he said, yeah, me and my wife are having an issue with the jet hanger. You know, I mean, we don't have an issue with the jet, but now Apostle's saying he needs a hanger. And I'm saying, you know, well, you know, if you got a jet, you know, you got a car, you got a carport, you know. So what's up with this, you know? And, you know, and it was like, you know, there's people who are starving all over the world, you know. I say, yeah, you know. But it's a benefit, you know. And anyway, you know, I told Apostle, I said, yeah, I said, you know, one of my circle members, I said, you know, like I said, you have to tell everything. And so he's got an issue. He said, tell him, you know, the material that he had given us for to start our circles. And he said, get my material from him and tell him that he's fired. He said, I can get brother so-and-so to do it or you can do it. I said, I can do it. So I told him, you know, and he'd already pretty much known that was it because, you know, but it was subtle things that he started noticing, you know. And if one thing I learned, if you don't understand something I said last week that Dr. Forbes would say, he said in one of his messages several years ago, you don't have to understand everything about what a person is doing in order to follow. You know, so just because you don't understand it, I don't have it all, don't have the insight, you know, you trust your man of God that he's making the right choice and the right decision, and you follow. And as you follow close, God's going to begin to give you the understanding, you know, because you're in that vein of anointing where now the revelation knowledge can begin to flow down to you. So what might have been cloudy when you first heard it now becomes crystal clear. You know, because you stuck around long enough to be imparted into, and that's so very important. You know, so you don't have to necessarily understand everything about what's going on in order to follow properly. You just have to follow in faith, knowing that, hey, trusting him, that he's trusting the Lord, and everybody's going in the same direction. All right, let's move on. Without loyalty being the core of every network or organization of churches, there will be constant competition, competitive jealousy, dissension, and finally, disintegration. I'm going to read that again. Without loyalty being the core of every network or organization of churches, there will be constant competition, people trying to outdo one another. You know, we're not called to compete. We're called to complete. You know, it blesses me when one of my brothers move up in ministry, or God bless them, or bless, you know, somebody get out of debt, or, you know, God blesses somebody, or somebody gets healed. Because, you know, when you look at being a body, every time one part of the body gets better, it affects the whole body. You know, it makes it, making it whole. You know, and we got to see ourselves as the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, so there should be no competition, no competitive jealousy, no dissension. And finally, because if those things happen, the organization is going to be disintegration. It's just going to fold. All right, what I want to talk about now, or begin to, I might be able to cover the first two stages of 8 stages of disloyalty, and we'll probably try to finish next week. But disloyalty doesn't just happen overnight, because disloyalty is a process. It happens in stages. You know, as I stated earlier, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Most people are unaware of the fact that they have become disloyal. Some leaders do not even notice disloyalty among their associates. That's why it's so very important to have the spirit of discernment, so you can discern. Apostle was talking about the lady with the plaque, a discernment, you know, something just ain't right, you know, something don't feel right about a situation. Sometimes when that happens, you got to stop and say, Lord, what's going on? Well, why do I feel uneasy about this? You know, do you want me to hold up and stop? You know, and as God giving you spiritual discernment, or he might tell you that, you know, that's a charlatan, that's a front, you know, that's a con. Don't do it. Don't get involved. You know, and that's so very important, because we need to be able to detect this disloyalty in associates or members who are part of our organization, so that we can hopefully try to turn their behavior. But if not, we can show them the door. You know, and that and I used to. We have a motto here, Word of Life Christian Center. Expose, reveal, remove, and replace. You know, so, you know, people who walk in disloyalty and aren't fully, you know, when they're babes, you work with them and you get them. But once they get to a certain point and you're still getting the complaining and you know, I want to have my own way, and, you know, no, there's only one way. You know, what's the word? You know, God's kingdom is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. God in charge, you know, and that's so very important. And then God calls a man or a woman over a ministry to with a vision, and the people are called to rally around that vision. So let's start off with the 8 stages. The first stage of disloyalty is called the independent spirit. The independent spirit stage is so subtle that most people do not recognize it for what it actually is, disloyalty. When a person belongs to a group, ministry, or company, develops an independent attitude, he sort of becomes, the word is called autonomous within the group. The word autonomous or autonomous means responding, reacting, or developing independently of the whole. Existing or acting separately from other things or people, having the power or right to govern themselves, do not really want to answer to anybody. In other words, they want to self-govern themselves. So going back to what I stated earlier, a person belonging to a group or ministry or a company who develops an independent attitude, he becomes autonomous within the group. In other words, I'm a part of the group, but I'm not adhering to everything that's going on. You know, I got my own ideas. I got my own agenda. The rules of the organization no longer control he or she. Such a person is still a part of the church, but does not want to, but what here, I'm sorry, they still belong to the church, but what they do is contrary to church government or church rules or regulations. You know, one of the things Apostle has always told us, he don't want buying and selling in the church. In other words, if you got a business, you know, don't be promoting your business in the church. You know, even if you got a kid who's selling, you know, Scout cookies or Girl Scout cookies, You know, that's this is not the place for that. You know, don't try to promote yourself or your agenda while you're on the church property. You know, I never forget this one person who was trying to promote some play or something they were going to do, and they were trying to solicit people to be in this production. You know, and we got wind of it. Matter of fact, it was discernment that took place that uncovered, because after they were told not to do it, they laid low for several months, and here they start off again. You know, I want you to be in this little sitcom that I'm doing. You know, and the Lord supernaturally, because I saw what they were doing, but I couldn't hear, and I'm wondering, Lord, what's going on? You know, and my wife said, well, you know, just pray about it. God will reveal it to you. Sure enough, He revealed it to me in a phone call. The person He was soliciting called me and told me exactly what had happened. And so my next call was to headquarters. And the next day, that person was asked to leave. Man, they weren't asked. They were told, don't come back. You know, but, you know, getting back disloyalty, you know, you having your own agenda, you know, something you want to do because, you know, you're just promoting yourself. You know, I'm all about promoting the vision. If anybody know me and around me for any length of time, you know, around this ministry or anywhere, I'm promoting the vision. You know, everything I do is centered around promoting the vision of Word of Life Christian Center, you know, changing the lives of people with the Word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world, the home of covenant winners. You know, when you stick to the agenda, you cannot go wrong. Amen. When someone speaks on the grounds, and you've heard this before, the grounds of autonomy, they are speaking for themselves, independently of whatever group or organization they're affiliated with. You know, when they might interview somebody on TV, and they said this person is speaking on grounds of autonomy. That means even though they're part of this group, they're not speaking on behalf of the group. In other words, I'm only speaking for myself. So a person who has an independent spirit, they operate autonomous to the group. In other words, separate. They're there, but they're there for their own purposes in most cases. Amen. Let me move on. Let me give you some examples. You know, apostle may call a meeting, a special meeting, but a person with an independent spirit decides only to attend the meetings he feels is important to them. You know, or they're just too busy, or they just don't want to make it, so they don't show up. Or he encourages the membership to attend Sunday and Tuesday Bible study. But they decide, I'm only going to church once a week. Now, I'm tired after work, I'm not coming. You know, he already said, if you're laity, you don't have to dress up with your suit, you know, just come as you are, you know, but you make this decision. You know, I'm gonna give the Lord Sunday, but I ain't giving him Tuesday. You know, that's disloyalty. You know, and eventually, you know, you start being disloyal in this area, you're gonna start to be disloyal in that area, because now you feel like I can have. You know, this is not back in the day. Burger King used to have this slogan, "You can have it your way." You can't have it your way in ministry. You just can't. You can't do it. It's either God's way or the highway. You know, bottom line, or you know, especially, you know, at this church, I know that for a fact. You know, it's apostles way or the highway, you know, but that you keep a tight ship that way, and you keep everybody in order, you know, because all it takes is making an example of one or two people who try to buck the system, and after a while, then all of a sudden, all you know, you got sheep and you got goat. A goat. You know, that used to be one of our books in the school of ministry years ago, Sheep, Wolves, and Goat. You know, a goat always want to buck the system, you know. But you know, you can turn them. A good shepherd could turn a goat and keep it from butting, you know, because the sheep are designed by nature to follow. You want to be a good sheep, because when you have a good shepherd and you're a good sheep, the shepherd is going to lead you in the green pastures. I'm telling you what I know, you know, but you don't want to be a goat. And by all means, you definitely don't want to be a wolf, you know, because a wolf comes in sheep clothing. He might look the part, but deep down in his heart, he got his wolf agenda. You know, he's going after the sheep. You know, a wolf is going after the sheep. Amen. Let me move on. A person with an independent spirit obeys only certain instructions, only the ones he thinks are really important to him. All right? So that's, you know, that's number one, an independent spirit, okay? Also, too, I want to point out loyal members who comply with the directives. A loyal member will comply with the directives or the dictates that come from the head, and that's no question. When a person is loyal, they're going to comply with the directives that come straight from the head. I got a call the other night from an associate in ministry here, and it had to do with a situation with somebody who was in need financially. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. And he wanted to start, let's call some leaders and get together, get a collection, and you know, let's bless the person. I'm saying, yeah, that's good. I said, but let's run that by leadership, you know. He said, yeah, but, you know, as leaders, we can, yeah. I said, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I said, but let's call Reverend Leroy Jr. Let's, you know, because I know what's going to happen. He's going to say, let me get back with you. I'm going to get with Apostle, you know. And so I wasn't sure whether he was going to make that call. So I said, let me call. So I call and I explain the situation. Reverend Leroy Jr., Dr. Leroy Jr., I get back to you. Let me talk to Apostle. I get back. Sure enough, he got back with me. Apostle said, don't worry about it. It's handled. I said, okay. And then when I saw him at church, I said, you got the call? And he said, yeah, everything's okay. All right. You know, but, you know, that's why I think, you know, I miss Dr. Phil so much, because he had the Apostle's heart. I'll never forget. Because when you have a man of God's heart, you start to speak just like him. Just like him. You know, I'll never forget, my son was about to graduate from high school. And was it high school or was it college? It was high school, yeah. And we had just started the apostolic, and the school we had changed over with apostolic doctrine. And this was like our first graduation class. And I knew I wanted to be there, you know, but it was on the same night my son was graduating. And so at one of the Supernatural Money Coming to You conferences, I kind of pulled Pastor Phil's coattail. I said, Pastor Phil, I said, I got a situation. I said, my son's graduation is on the same night as the school of ministry graduation. And you know, I really want to make the graduation here because I want to represent and want to be there. And he said, talk to Apostle. He said, one of the other master life bearers had a similar situation, and Apostle told him that, you know, your son only going to graduate from high school one time. He said, there's going to be many other graduations, and so Apostle probably won't mind you missing this one to go to your son's graduation, because that's going to be with him for the rest of his life that daddy wasn't there. And I said, okay, Dr. Phil. He said, yeah, talk to Apostle. Talk to him. You know, he talked to him. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so I went to Apostle. Apostle said, he said, go to your son's graduation. He said, you know, he only going to get one graduation from high school. He said, but, you know, we're going to have it almost word for word. I mean, it's almost like he heard what Dr. But, you know, but when you see, when you follow close like that, you're going to speak the same language, you know. And, you know, I just had to take time to share that, because that just, you know, that's something I'll never forget. I'll never forget, you know. But see, what I learned from that lesson was, if you're not sure, go to headquarters. You know, don't try to make a decision on your own. You know, especially if it's involved in ministry or something, you know, when a person is involved and the right decision. You know, there have been times I've lost it on my outline. I got 1 minute left. I'll never forget, there was a brother. I got 1,000 stories. You know, it just come up in my spirit. There was a brother who was in financial need. I was at the bank. I might have even shared this already. I was at the bank taking some money out, and I saw him in his car, head down, and he was just, you know, you could tell he was depressed. And I went up to him. I said, you okay? He said, it didn't come through, Brother Cowan. He said he was waiting on a settlement from his job, and they were supposed to pay him an X amount of money. Well, things didn't transpire. And I wanted to so bad just go back and take a couple of $100 out and give to him. So, because I knew he was hurting, he needed finances. But I hear Apostle's voice, you know, don't you play God, you know, because God might be dealing with him about something. So I called Apostle. I had a word go to Apostle telling him the guy's situation. Apostle got back with me. He said, Greg, He said, unless the Lord specifically tell you to bless him, don't do it, because you're going to be interfering with something God is trying to do in his life, you know, to bring him through so he'll know that this is the Lord's doing, you know. Mm-hmm. Amen. And my time is up.